one of the most spiritual things that we can do, that we have the ability to do, is to choose.
Yeah.
So I can choose to love you. I can choose to serve you. And I do.
Yeah. That's
I
true.
Choose to do it. That's one of the most spiritual things that you have the ability, capability to do.
Hello and welcome to the Overflow Podcast. This is a podcast on a mission to discover how you and I can live a life of abundance, full to overflowing. In season 5, we're learning how to cultivate thriving relationships and how, through the good times and the bad, we can maintain the overflow. My name is Carl Lindsay and this is episode 42. It's just me in the studio today. I'm back with Joe and Laya this week. Philip's not able to join us, but we are talking about healthy relationships this season, as you know. So what we're all about is wanting you to have the happily ever after that seems so distant from so many of us. But we do know that it's the type of relationship that God is desiring for all of us. And so that's what we're chasing. So whether you're single, whether you're dating, engaged, or married, we really hope these conversations are helpful to you. So please, yeah, share these episodes with your friends, leave us a review or rating on your podcast app, and send us a message on Instagram at Choose to Overflow. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear your questions. Just get in touch and we can connect. We've got, as I said, Joe and Laya back in the studio. These guys are a young couple, just got married. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Happy to be here.
So you guys, Joe, you are a media guy at this church, Loma Linda University Church here.
Yeah.
And you've been here how long?
Wow.
A year.
Yeah.
About now.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I guess it didn't feel like it because of the pandemic. We moved during the pandemic.
Right. So you've been here a year. You came at the same time?
Yeah. We moved as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
Not together. Her family moved here. I also happened to get a job out here.
So okay.
Around the same
time. Good timing. Yeah.
Proposal was awesome. Coming. It was
happening.
About
man.
Time.
And you moved from Barron Springs. You were studying at Andrews University. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're in social work now. Tell us a little bit about your job.
Sure. Well, I just graduated, so I don't have a job yet.
Okay.
I'm looking for one. But the work that I did was on addiction, trauma specifically. I worked in 2 internships that dealt with addiction and then another one that dealt with trauma. And I actually went into it because I was elementary education, wanted to help kids on a mm-hmm. different kind of level, and social work provided that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Well, we're excited to talk to you guys today, preparing for marriage. As you kind of hinted at last week, not every couple has every answer, or every couple doesn't have every answer. And so we just want to talk about your journey. We want to find out about the types of things that we should be thinking about as we move into a season of marriage for those who might be planning that way or near or future. Welcome to the show and let's jump straight into this.
Also, I'm excited to learn about your journey and how you're preparing for marriage.
Yeah,
we're seeing it in real time.
It's a process, that's for sure. I mean, we started off as long distance and now we're headed into 10 months, just turned local, as I mentioned at the beginning of the season. It's a new dynamic and we're just trying to figure out the different things. Okay, what are we going to be doing 5 years from now? What are we going to be doing 10 years?
That's
and
awesome. That
having those
having
kind
this.
Of conversations.
So you've been dating for 10 months.
That's
and this is the first time you're able to be local together.
Right.
It's been long distance for 10 months. Yeah. Wow.
God bless.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me the information. Tell me what I should be thinking
about.
Oh, gosh. Let's tell you, what types of things did work through in preparing for a lifetime together? Was there anything that surprised you about that process? Because, I mean, like, people if I'm going to get married, like, is our careers going to align? Are we going to live in the same place?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Those are standard questions. But was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah. I can say right off the bat, Joe is unlike anyone I've ever dated in the sense of, like he talked about in the previous podcast episode, that he's just a creative that does all things. He just does so much. And when I met him, he was doing photography, videography. And then when I would go to his apartment with some friends and hang out, I would see him editing sound. And I was really confused. Like, okay, so what do you do? Are you a photographer? Are you a videographer? Trying to define him.
Seminary.
Like what do I expect? He was in seminary. That's when we met. So right. I was like, are you going to be a pastor? Because if so, we need to have a conversation. Yeah, and Joe really challenged me in that way, and he told me, I'm not just one thing. I can do all these things, and that's just a part of what I believe that God has created me to do. And now, being married, but even before being married, I learned to do a lot on my own, things that I never thought that I would ever do.
Tell me more.
Okay, well, the most exciting thing was building things.
Okay.
So for our wedding, we wanted to do a lot of do-it-yourself
stuff, yeah.
kind of stuff. Yeah. So we built the wedding arch, right, that you stand under. I mean, it's not super difficult to build that. But even with that, he would let me use a drill. And I was like, this is so exciting. No one has ever, I didn't even know what a drill was, to be honest with you. I didn't know they had electric ones and regular old ones. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Or just now, we just painted our first dining table that we found on Facebook Market for like $50. And we painted it and we've been sanding it. And it's just, those are things that I never did. Yeah, spray painted a bunch of stuff for our wedding, just DIY'd a bunch of stuff. I learned how to change the oil, the car.
Wow.
That was so exciting to me. And not to say that these are guy things, manly things yeah. that women don't do, but I just personally never relied on my dad for a lot of this stuff, and I expected to rely on him for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some things. Yeah. He taught me a lot.
So what I hear in that is that you were, as preparing, you kind of collaborate in a lot of things and you started to almost learn some of his skills.
Yeah.
Tell me what about your perspective? What types of things were you thinking about and talking about as you prepared to get married one day?
Ooh, man. I think I'm 32 now, and I think completely different than I did at 21 or 22, right? Yeah. And I think I can only speak from those two perspectives. When I was 22, my idea of marriage was weird. I don't know. And now it's more of like, in the last episode, we talked a lot about getting to know yourself. I think like most people, we've been in a couple of relationships. I was in a couple of relationships. And in between, I don't feel like I had enough time to get to know myself. So before I got to meet Laya, I feel for the first time in my life, I felt like I had enough time to get to know myself. I really knew who I was.
And it showed.
My weaknesses, my strengths, who I was, who God was to me. You know, all these other aspects of my life, I really was able to grow in them. So my expectations weren't so much what somebody else could do for me. I don't in any way, I am not perfect and don't even pretend to be, but I think because I finally had enough time to get to know myself, my expectations were for myself is what can I bring to the table? Hopefully what I do bring to the table is not just to my benefit, but impacts, right? The person that my significant other, my partner, in this case, Laya. And so every decision, I guess, my expectation was hopefully every decision I make is impactful positively in Laya's life, because ultimately it will impact her life.
Right. So there's two things there. Laya's talking about life skills and things that you're learning to look after yourself in many ways as you're moving into a relationship together. And you're talking about the idea of just What am I going to bring to the relationship when it enters into a marriage?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing too. It's it's the idea of bringing to the table and all that, all of you, in a, like we talked about last week, the idea of serving.
Yeah.
Okay, what am I going to pour into this relationship? Yeah. And not, it's not about what I'm going to take.
Yeah. Well, you ultimately, we mentioned this in the last podcast as well, in the last episode, we ultimately invest in what we love, right? That has nothing to do with financially. Yeah. Let's think about in a relationship. Ultimately, it's changing the perspective of what can I get out of this relationship, rather what can I bring to the, what can I bring to the table in every, in any relationship, right? In this case, in our intimate relationship, in our romantic relationship, how can I be there for her?
I would say I expected from the beginning, because of what society or the church or whatever it may be, my family had told me, is you become friends with somebody, right? And then you are, you start to like each other, and then you start dating, and you're in this honeymoon phase, right? They call it like this, you're all over each other. You're sharing straws. You're sharing drinks. Like there's this time period where you're so in love and all these things, and then eventually that fades. No one really says it like that, but you get out of the honeymoon phase, and then you have to make serious decisions, and then you get to the point where you either get married or you break up.
Right
That's kind of my expectation when going into relationships. That's what I always thought it was like, and I always did try to establish a friendship with the people that I was dating before I started dating. But Joe and I told each other that we loved each other before we were interested in each other.
That's crazy.
So do you want to tell the story, babe?
Go for it. Yeah, I think we can both tell it from,
okay,
from like the,
you interrupt
the two perspectives.
Me. Yeah, you interrupt me. Okay. So basically, Joe's apartment had become this hub for people to go and hang out, and that was really special. And so eventually the holidays came, and I actually lived on campus with my family. So holiday season came, everybody went home to their families, and the only two people left from our friend group were Joe and myself. And so we had never hung out, just the two of us, before, but I think one of us texted each other and said, hey, we're the only ones left. Do you want to hang out? And we're like, yeah, let's go. We grabbed some Thai food. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And came back to your apartment. And then I ended up staying a little bit longer, and we ended up putting a movie on, and which I sat on the couch and Joe sat on the floor, which I thought was just disrespectful, but he just thought the floor was comfortable.
Going back to last week's conversation.
Expectations. No, but at this point I was like, man, I really respect this guy, and I've never been friends with the opposite sex without any kind of agenda or expectation. And so we're both sitting there, and I'm thinking this in my head, and Joe says, you know what? I just want to tell you, I know this is weird and most people don't say this, but genuinely, I've never had a girlfriend who is
a girl
without any intention of being something else or
without them expecting or having an agenda for something.
Having an agenda, exactly. Yeah. And he was like, and I just want you to know that I know maybe this sounds weird, but I really do love you. You know, and you have become somebody who means a lot to me, and I really do love you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said I love you as a friend or if you just said I love you, but I got the gist of what you were
saying.
Well,
in that conversation we were having, that came up, and so I guess we were telling each other whatever we were talking about, and I had just been going through something at the time, and I was like, oh man, I was trying to apply something, which was these three things that we don't say enough is I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I love you,
right?
Yeah,
to normal people.
Yeah,
right, to just random, right, you could call them random strangers. To normal people we don't say that. And so I was in like, man, I'm gonna apply this, I'm gonna try and say that to as many people as possible. And so I really wanted to let Laia know just because of who she was. And she was just such an amazing person. Personality, her heart, everything was just amazing. And I was really saying that for me, but also for her. Like, I've never been around somebody where, for instance, I haven't had an agenda from the opposite sex or somebody that I'm attracted to, that I haven't an agenda or any expectations, and vice versa. Like, this is weird, but awesome. This is amazing. And like, I love you, man. Yeah. I love you so, like, you're such an amazing person.
Yeah. And in that moment, it did feel a little bit weird to hear that in that context, but I was inside, I felt the same. And I was like, you know, this feels a little weird, but it also feels so right to tell you that I love you too. Like, truly, as a friend, you've been there for me in so many ways that I've needed a friend. So, and especially a guy friend to not have intentions. So anyway, we had that conversation. And fast forward, that week ended up hanging out a couple more times and took our friends to the airport.
Yeah.
And then at some point, Joe said, you know, you're like a sister to me. And by this point, I had started to develop feelings. Actually, the moment he said, I love you, something stirred up in me and said, I did really like you platonically, but when you said I love you just now, something happened inside of me, and I think I like you. And when he said that, what did I say to you?
Oh, when you said, we skipped a little bit of a thing. There was like happened? When I said I really love you because of the way you are, you know, we told each other we love each other. Some people might think, oh, I mean, you got friend zoned, whoever you or me. It wasn't even that. There hadn't been any talk about us liking each other.
But it sounds like you sister zoned her.
Yeah. By then, there was like some weird like flirtatious vibes, and I kind of noticed, and I was like, all right, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So I kind of, this is me like playfully kind of setting this boundary because I kind of suspected something, but nothing verbally had been said.
Oh my gosh, I just realized you set a boundary.
Yeah, but I was suspecting, and I was like, yo, I love you.
Yeah.
But you're like an amazing sister to me.
But
and she was like, what?
I don't know why most women, when they hear that, and men will say, like, do not take that. When I say I love you like a sister, I mean it. Mm-hmm. Like, do not cross that boundary. In my head, I thought, oh, yeah. Like, I totally am going to get this guy. And like I told you earlier, I had a conversation with my mom. No. But from that moment, it was like, I really do want to, like, I want to pursue this guy.
Mm, right. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Right.
And I told my mom, she asked me like, hey, what about this guy, Joe? And I said, you know, no, like, there's nothing going on between us or anything. We're going to be friends for a while. But maybe in about 2 years, I'll start pursuing something with him. So in my head, I already had thought, yeah, I'm going to pursue this in time. So I was willing to wait for you 2 years, baby.
Oh, 2 years. There you go. That's awesome. So you talked a little bit about expectations. You talked about the need to not move in with expectations, I suppose. Yeah. But I want to talk about, I mean, as I said at the top, and we've talked a lot about in this season, about this fairy tale mentality.
Yeah.
So, fairy tale mentality of happily ever after. So I want to ask, what way does our Hollywood-dictated culture mislead society into having unrealistic expectations about marriage? Mm.
Hollywood society. Well, I think two perspectives now, because we actually live fairly close to LA and we kind of get to see it firsthand, kind of how things actually are out here. But in movies, for instance, these rom-coms or whatever, you know, type of romantic movies that we see, it's very unrealistic.
Yeah.
Everything.
I mean, one of our previous guests a couple of weeks back, she said, try and name a movie that of a rom-com that basically lists the progression that should be biblical. Like, there's none out there.
Yeah, right.
And so, in what ways In what ways do you think that's messed us up about marriage?
Just the scenes that, I mean, we've been seeing as since we were kids, right? In PG-13 even movies, where we've just been conditioned to think that this is how things happen. I mean, I can go into specifics. Do you want me to do that?
Sure, why not?
Okay, is there something that's off limits? Because I can tell you one expectation that I had in marriage that I was unaware of.
Due to Hollywood, so, you think?
So Hollywood tells you, a woman, and you guys can talk about men, but to females, Hollywood tells us that we need to get to know our body, right? Normally what that means is knowing our bodies in a sexual way, where when we are able to be with somebody else, we know ourselves enough to say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like. And it sounds right when you just hear about it, but if you think about it, what you're essentially saying is that you're going to get to know your body better than the person you're with will ever get to know. And that doesn't sound like the Christian relationship that I signed up for or that I learned and want to achieve, right? The kind of relationship I want to have, which is I serve you and you serve me, right? But first of all, I serve you because I want to serve you, and you serve me because you want to serve me, and we're both served in the process. So that was one thing. So in marriage, I was telling Joe, for the first time ever, I'm getting to know my body. And it was so strange. And it was the most beautiful thing. And to me, it was like, wow, imagine if I had gotten to know myself, if you know what I mean, better before we were married or even together, then I wouldn't get to experience this kind of getting to know a new part of myself in marriage. And to me, it was so valuable that I got to know myself in a way that you were knowing me, you know, together, learning in the process. That was really special to me.
Yeah.
But that goes against even my Christian girlfriends have told me, hey, you should probably like do these things before you get married to a person so that you don't have these questions. But isn't the beautiful part messing up and not really knowing what you're doing together? Because then you don't have expectations.
Right.
That's what sets up expectations.
Yeah.
And for men, I mean, talk about that for a second.
Wow. Well, I think one thing that I can, something that I can think of, because of Hollywood is, and from a guy's perspective, it's very transactional. What can I get out of this?
Yeah.
Right. And another sense is, it's like, go out, date as many people as you want. Go do, there's no boundaries. All things are free. No strings attached until you find someone who you like. Again, it's very transactional. What can what can I get out of it? You know, in last podcast we talked about, you know, and this is very Hollywood too. It's like you can literally tell without them saying it in a scene, if they're going on a date, you can just by the guy's body language, I hope I like this girl. The girl is probably thinking, I hope this guy likes me. Sometimes they do actually say it full on out, but it's very transactional. What can I get out of this relationship?
Right.
And if not, will I get laid tonight, right, out of this thing? Will she sleep with me after the first date? You know, it's like, what can I get out of this? Or how soon can I get it out of this, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, many of the movies as well set up this idea that, I mean, there is drama and there's relational drama.
Yeah.
But ultimately, many of the movies set up this beautiful idea of romance and they leave out the drama.
Yeah.
And so then we move into these relationships hoping ours is the same without any experience or any know-how to have that conflict.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Like, this is us from a perspective of us just being newly married. But you're in a relationship, right? You have an awesome perspective from being long distance for 10 months. And now for the first time ever, you're local. But now, let's consider you thinking about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
How has it impacted you? And like the unlearning that you're probably doing currently even, right?
Yeah.
I think unlearning has been a process for the last, I don't know, half a decade.
Yeah.
Probably longer, but I mean, you learn and then you unlearn.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a process of, I was in a relationship, then I was single, and then I was now in my, in another relationship, and you feel like you're in a better spot, and then you're like, oh wait, no, I'm a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a process you just have to continue working on thinking about. I mean, we talked with Ranella Kalagithi a couple of weeks back. She had some great things to say about just working out how to learn what your values are and figuring out those types of things. And then when you can have those conversation with yourself, then you're ready to have those conversations with your significant other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
It's definitely a process. And especially in this world where expectations are heightened by the silver screen.
Yeah.
So we've talked about, we talk a lot about this idea of this podcast being all about personal growth in a spiritual direction. So we're talking about expectations and what Hollywood is kind of setting us up for. But let's talk, can you guys talk to us about how staying grounded in our faith can help keep expectations realistic? Like, how does faith play into this?
Wow. So once you really get to know God, you really get to know yourself. Now, who was Jesus, for instance, in this earth? Well, he really came to show us what love is. And ultimately, to make it short, it was being in the service of others. Now, being in the service of others, we can take it in every aspect of our life or in any every aspect of relationships and friendship and family relationships and then in intimate relationships. What am I bringing to the table, right? And that really takes a lot of getting to know you. And now spirituality, really getting to know Jesus, for instance, because Jesus is the human manifestation of God.
Right. What I hear you saying there is that being grounded in faith is a process of connecting with God and serving others.
Right. So, I think being connected with God, I mean, being connected with God sounds so like spiritual, mystical, but it's really, okay, aside from that, just how can I be in the service of others? How can I show other people I love them? And now going back to what are the definitions of love? Love is patient, love is kind, so on and so forth. That really takes service to others.
Yeah, I just love 1 Corinthians 13, but I just want to read a couple of verses. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. That one's for me. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And to me, expectations just are the opposite of a safe place for someone to grow. I mean, when you start dating someone, I pray and hope that your hope is for that person to grow, right? I think it's so funny because since we got married, we actually had our first date night, if you will. Yesterday, we're like, you know what? Let's just make this a date night.
Yeah.
And Joe said, hey, I really think we should start praying every morning and every night together.
We
had talked about this, but I could see that he was really serious. Like, no, really. I really think we should start doing this.
Making it a priority.
Yeah. And to me, that was beautiful because my expectation obviously is that my husband's going to continue to grow spiritually and I'm going to support him in that way. But these are all pretty words until you actually put it to practice. Mm-hmm. And for him to actually wake up every morning and remember every night to consciously come together as one and pray,
yeah.
there's so much power in that. And that I didn't have any expectation for you to do that. But now that you're doing that, I'm like, man, I love that you're allowing me to grow in that area, and you're growing too. So honestly, there's a lot of vulnerability in lowering your, not lowering your expectations, but in having no false expectations, because there are some expectations that could be good. You know, yeah. I expect him to be kind. That's a good expectation to have, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to just not expect anything of the other person. But the thing is, when you don't expect the other person to look after your own needs, then when they do something to love you and to show, right, we have the love languages. When they express that in the way that you love to be loved, it means so much, and you appreciate it and you receive it, and expectations allow us to not receive it because we already have the expectation, and so we're constantly disappointed, you know?
I think something I heard in there, you're talking about just the idea of staying grounded in faith.
Yeah.
When you're talking about praying together, that really drives home for me in that you are praying together and you're putting your focus on God.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
And so when you do that together, then you're actually able to let go of expectations horizontally.
Yes.
With each other. And I mean, it doesn't work perfectly, but if you're grounded, if that's the relationship with God that you're working on, then that really sets up, I think, the realistic expectations from side to side. Are you single with nowhere to mingle? If you've been enjoying our conversations on relationships this season and you're ready to pursue your own healthy and overflowing relationship, I want to introduce you to my friends at thelovepotluck.com. They run virtual speed dating for Seventh-day Adventist singles, and they're an Adventist dating platform that lets you have live face-to-face conversations with real people who share your values. You'll get to meet several individuals who are in your age range for less than what you'd pay for just one usual date. And their hosts take the awkwardness out of it, so you're sure to have a fun time. You can learn more or register at thelovepotluck.com. And for what it's worth, when I was helping my friend set this all up, it's actually where I met my girlfriend for the first time. So you never know who you might meet. Because let's face it, you're more likely to meet someone when you actually meet more people. So go ahead, sign up for their next event at thelovepotluck.com. Laya, you talked about a little bit before about the idea of false expectations.
Yeah.
So I want to get, you also were talking, sharing your story of early on in your relationship. So what about in the last, say, year, since you've moved here and since you've been preparing for marriage more seriously, how did you navigate the expectations or even the false expectations that you may have had? Were there any that you had coming into this new season of marriage?
Yes. I had an expectation that I could call Joe at 7 o'clock in the morning and at 10 o'clock at night to tell him about something really important that I was thinking about all night. And it's like the craziest thought that I had ever had. And I needed to talk about it. It's essential that we talk about it right now. And it's so funny because at a certain point, Joe had to set a boundary with me and say, hey, I really love listening to you talk about and talk to me about these things, but
7 a.m. not the time.
Yeah, it's like I can't really receive it the way that you expect me to because it's really early and I'm mentally I'm just not there yet. And that was an expectation that I had. And that happened closer to when we were getting married.
I want to ask this from the perspective of maybe there's a couple out there that engage and they're preparing for marriage.
Yeah.
What are the types of things that they should be thinking about and expectations that they need to have a conversation about?
Yeah. being in a relationship in any aspect is very service based. Hmm. You got to be willing to be to bring something to the table rather than expecting something right. to be put on the table, right? So I don't know. I guess it wasn't an expectation. It was kind of like, this is my space, my whatever, you know what I mean? And mentally, before even Laya moved in with me, I was kind of telling her, hey, like, this is where this is going to be. This is where this is going to be. And uh-huh. I'm doing this for
this
you.
This is how you stack the dishwasher.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm unconsciously telling you, this is how I do things in my space.
Right.
Right. And I was expecting her to just come in and be like, yeah, this is your space.
But it all of a sudden became our space.
Yep.
Yes. And I'm trying to convince myself that, no, I'm doing this for her, when it's like, I'm telling her where I do, how I do yeah. things, you know?
That's big.
I remember a conversation we had was right before we got married. We got into an argument and Jill was like, hey, I really need to clear my head. Can you please go home? And I had actually driven to his apartment that night, so I could very well just pick up the keys and go home.
Mm.
And I was like, no, we're 2 weeks away from this becoming my place too. And when we get into arguments when we're married, do you expect me to leave,
mm-hmm.
you know, our apartment? And yeah. and part of me was like, should I go? Like, I want to respect his boundaries. But I thought, well, if he really wants to go, then he can go and go for a walk and come back. But I remember that night, it was one of the conversations I remember the most, because we talked about it. And for the first time, one of the first times, you were very vulnerable. And we, you know, after you have a fight and it's a good resolution, you feel so good after, you know, because you're like, yes, like, we achieved that together. We really got through that argument and beat the argument instead of each other.
Right.
So that was a big one. And then just in planning a wedding.
Right.
Like, there are so many expectations in planning a wedding that are so unrealistic and impact your relationship. And people would tell us, hey, you guys, don't expect to be super in love right before you get married, because you're going to be under a lot of stress. And and so, I mean, we felt it. We were like, yeah, I don't know if I want to marry you today, honestly, because it's been a rough day. But then unlearning, what is the point of a wedding, really? Is the point to have the decorations all nice? Is the point to have everything perfectly scheduled and planned out? No. What we wanted was to spend time together and let that be a special day. Our family can be with us the whole weekend and enjoy our time together.
Yeah. Ultimately, a public expression of our love. Mm. And for us, what that meant, where that would start, at least that day in our wedding day, was like spending time together. Like, let's just spend time together, even if it feels cheesy. Like, you dress up, I'll dress up, and let's go to the spaghetti factory, right? Yeah. And let's go have like an early lunch there, dressed up, you know, let's just go hang out before. And that was like,
that's what we did on our wedding day.
Okay. Our wedding was later on that afternoon, so we went and we ate, had a little date, hung out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, dressed up. It was it was so fun.
We're getting married this afternoon.
And a lot of people, you know, they were trying to like set these expectations, and you can't see her in her dress before your wedding day, you can't do this and that, you can't. It was like, why? Who
We've
said
hung
we can't?
Out every day since we started dating.
Oh, literally, we have.
Today is not going to be any different.
Right.
We're going to get to hang out on our wedding day, you know?
That's good. So another thing, like, you just mentioned the wedding there, wedding planning and all that. When we were talking about a few weeks ago leading up to this conversation, you mentioned something about the idea of thinking about how you can approach the wedding planning from almost like an outreach point of view, or a getting to
so
know.
True.
There's so many people involved in putting a wedding on. Talk to me about that and how you navigated that.
Ooh.
I prayed about every single person. I prayed about the hairstylist, who, by the way, was amazing. I didn't know her before that day. Okay. I don't even know if she's Christian. All I know is she was an amazing person, and she made me feel so special. And every single person, I mean, just learning about their story, she was Hispanic American. I'm Hispanic American. I don't like saying that, but I am. Every single person. And that's, yes, absolutely. Take your wedding as a outreach opportunity, because number one, people are willing to help. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited to help. Yeah. That's the first thing.
That's true, yeah.
The day before our wedding, we had a big lunch with people from church. Okay. And our families, his family and my family, got together and cooked meals from our culture for everybody.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
that's cool.
There was over like 100 people there, mm-hmm. from like, wow. pastors and whatnot. And they were overjoyed. I mean, that was for them so special that they got to plan essentially our wedding party, you know? And then on top of that, it was so special for us to be with our family. And that's just how our family is.
Yeah.
It was more so like, hey, this is us.
Yeah.
We love cooking for people. So come in, sit down, and let us serve you.
Yeah.
And that was the most beautiful part of our wedding weekend, I think, to me, because we got to involve our family, which, again, the expectation is the family shouldn't do anything.
Mm.
But our family wanted to do things.
In our culture, to kind of tell them that you're not going to do anything is kind of disrespectful. Yeah. Or kind of like it's like, what? You expect us not to do anything? Yeah, right. Get out of here.
So yeah.
Right. Well, another thing I hear you in there is the idea, in terms of outreach, not necessarily trying to convert people, but treat people as humans.
Yes.
Again, it's going back to that transactional. I'm in this relationship for what I can give.
Right.
And so I'm going to talk to the flower person. I'm going to talk to the hairstylist that you're talking about. Like, I'm going to learn their story, not just say, oh, here's my money, thanks for the flowers. Like, and making it a little bit more relational.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, like what you just said, treating people, like human beings. Yo, it doesn't matter if I paid you or if you paid me, if I'm doing you a service, you're doing me a service. Man, how much more of an impact can you make on somebody, especially when you're paying them for, say, like saying, man, thank you so much. Like, you are worth this and more. I wish I could give you more. Or I wish I, you know, being just showing a little bit of appreciation goes a really long way. And it kind of inspires people to like, yeah, I'm going to do that much more.
Right.
Also, people focus a lot on the wedding day and not on the, you're about to start a marriage.
Marriage, yeah. Let's get back. Yeah.
So something that it's so curious when I talk to couples and they're like, and I ask them, hey, have you guys done premarital counseling? And they're like, no, actually we're running out of time or whatever. And we're not able to do premarital counseling, but they've spent a year planning a wedding. And not that you have to do premarital counseling, but the great thing about premarital counseling is that you're forced to ask the tough questions, questions that you may not even have asked before.
Yeah.
And we have gotten deep in conversation with each other, but there were some things in premarital counseling that came up about the way that we function when we're under stress, for example, was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that about you, and I don't think you ever knew that about me.
No. Yeah, I think premarital counseling just makes you really aware of certain things that are really good to know, like really important to know about yourself, about the about your partner, about how you, for instance, how you handle things, how your partner handles things, and how, you know, what, depending on that, how you can go into that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's just one part of preparation for marriage.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the bare minimum, really, that we do before marriage. It's the bare minimum that we did because we were also planning a wedding, a lot of stress and a lot to do and no time.
Right. I mean, on this podcast, we'd probably recommend pre-engagement counseling.
I love that.
At all times, you're kind of connecting with a therapist of some level. Because obviously life does get busy. And if you're thinking about that all along, you're going to learn things about each other that's really helpful.
And just as a piece of advice, not every therapist will be your therapist, right? And will you feel totally comfortable with sharing? So I think it's also, if you can't get a therapist because it's also expensive and whatever, right? There are reasons why people haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
And I want to respect that. But at the same time, find a counselor, find somebody who you look up to, a married couple that you value and respect.
Yeah, good advice.
Ask them to tell you, we just now, I mean, I was telling Joe, I wish that we had more couples in our lives that we could seek wisdom and ask them for advice. And so that's why I want to be totally transparent in our relationship, because I want to be that for someone else. But it's hard to find people that you can go to and they would make time to mentor you and counsel you. So, but anyway, there are many ways that you can get that kind of insight on your relationship. And if you don't want to do that, then I would ask yourself what the reason is. Why don't you want to seek counsel? Is it because deep down there are some things that would come up that
you're scared about? Because they're going to come up.
They're going to come up.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't scare you, because actually it's so helpful. You come out so much more peaceful, so much more aware of yourself. Getting to know yourself is just super important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Want a couple of quick questions before we wrap up. Let's see if you can just list two or three things straight off the top of your head. What are some things that people might not think of that change once you're married? I mean, you've only been married a month or so.
Yeah.
So one that you mentioned a little bit before was space. You all of a sudden were sharing a space.
Yeah, that's true.
So you move in together. What other things change in that sense that people might not think of?
I would say I can think of one. It is the gender roles. I think most likely the gender roles that you kind of expect in a marriage relationship are the ones that you've seen with your parents.
Right, the ones you grew up with and seen around. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So with my parents, my dad did everything, cooking, cleaning. My mom did at first. Then she started working more hardcore, and my dad was like, okay, I'll do this stuff. And now my dad pretty much does all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think luckily I've seen both sides. So my expectation was whatever he doesn't do, I'll do. Whatever I don't do, he will do. We'll scratch each other's backs. And Joe had the same expectation. We didn't talk about this. This isn't something that we talked about even in premarital counseling. But when we started, who takes out the trash? Who cleans up after themselves? Who cleans the bathroom? All these things.
Who cooks? Who cleans up? Who does this and that? Yeah.
I've noticed that we talked about this last week. We actually pick up after each other.
Yeah.
I don't mind if I see something on the floor and it's yours, I just put it in the hamper and I just move on. But that's not an issue. But I would say yet. It's not an issue yet. Okay. I will say that seems to come up for a lot of couples.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure that some things will come up too.
And it might relate and might go back to that idea of gender roles as children or that they're observing.
Which, by the way, it's not the right way just because your parents did it a certain way.
Right.
Your relationship is your relationship. So now you're going to have to set some new rules, some new standards and expectations of each other. But actually have a conversation. Don't just expect the other person without letting them know what your expectation is.
I mean, it's important to understand that our upbringing, our environment, all these things have a huge impact on the way that we are now. But it also takes a lot of getting to know yourself again and unlearning. It's important to unlearn the things that might impact somebody else, again, in the service of others, that might impact somebody else negatively and rather not positively. And so it really I mean, again, knowing and being aware that this space is not my space. It's our mm-hmm. space now. It's in my mind. It's our space. What would I want to do, for instance, if it was my own space? Well, I clean up after myself. Nobody else is going to do it. I wash my own clothes. I wash my dishes. I cook for myself.
Yeah.
And now, because it's not my space, it's our space, I'm going to do that. It might take, I mean, it's going to be a little bit more because now it's two of us, but I'm going to do that for us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect you to do it for me because you're whatever.
Yeah.
But she may step in and say, oh, let me do that because she wants to do it for you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I heard someone say once on a podcast, see a hole, fill a hole.
Mm.
And I thought that was so cool. That's awesome. It's like, hey, you see something that needs to get done, do it yourself.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
Whatever it is around the house, if you see a hole, fill a hole. Period. Both of you.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So for other couples who may be soon to be married, the people listening, is there anything else that we should be thinking about as we're preparing for this new chapter of life? Maybe like a final parting word of wisdom.
I think it's like, let go of all these expectations. Let go of all these like protocolish type of things, whatever they might be. All these things that you've learned in society. It's more of like, again, what can I bring to the table in everything? Think about your job. Think about your friendships. Think about your family. Now think about your romantic relationship, your future wife. How can I, because also don't think of yourself as more or less. How can I, provide and make a positive impact in my decisions and the things that I do daily? How can I love her better? How can I, you know, it's very, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? And again, once you get to know Jesus, you'll realize that his mission here was, what can I do for you?
That's good.
And just keep dating each other. Keep loving on each other. My parents have been together for almost 30 years. And I mean, they're more in love than they've ever been. Mm. And that's just crazy to me that they would increasingly fall more in love with each other. Mm-hmm. But you'll see them holding hands down, you know, through campus or whatever, and they will have the deepest conversations of their lives when they're having dinner with each other.
Yeah.
And that to me means so much. It means the world to see that there is still a love that continues to grow, and that marriage is hard, but that you just keep getting deeper and deeper in that love.
Yeah.
That to me is hope, and it makes me wanna, you know, work hard to keep this relationship. I mean, Joe could, even though, yes, we don't want to talk about divorce and we don't believe in divorcing each other, but at the same time, Joe could leave whenever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a relationship where there is freedom, but he's choosing to be with me and he's choosing to stay and love me every single day.
Yeah.
So as am I. And I just pray that we continue to do that, and the moment we don't, that we can work on it and find a way to get back to choosing each other every day and learning to love each other well.
Well, and I gotta say, we understand that, for instance, our parents, it might not be the same case for every single person, because you know, whatever reason, you might not have had a parent or both parents or just one coming up, or one was around but not really, or whatever the case may be. Ultimately, you do have a choice. One of the most spiritual things that we can do, that we have the ability to do, is to choose.
Yeah.
So I can choose to love you. I can choose to serve you. And I do.
Yeah. That's
I true. Choose to do it. That's one of the most spiritual things that you have the ability, capability to do.
I love that.
Yeah. You mentioned your parents there, Lyad, the idea. I mean, basically, they're falling more in love every day. I mean, that's what this whole season is intended to pursue, that overflowing relationship.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about. I love that you mentioned that. And I know it's possible. It just seems so rare in the world.
I know.
So that's what we're kind of pursuing. Do you guys have any resources that we should be reading, we should be looking up as kind of on the topic of preparing for marriage or boundaries, as we talked about last week?
Mm. Yeah. I can definitely recommend the podcast that we've been listening to lately is called Man Enough Podcast. Mm-hmm. And I just think it is so interesting to look at why it is that as a woman, I have had these expectations of my husband in dating or other men, and kind of being more gracious to other human beings and in relationships too. I mean, just go check it out, because there's a lot of good wisdom in there about relationships. And honestly, anything that you can get your hands on interpersonal relationships, because romantic grows from the interpersonal. And so we need to focus more on growing that personal relationship with another person.
You're not going to have a good, healthy, overflowing relationship with your partner if you can't manage it with your friends.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I have one more.
Go for it.
I just thought about it. Proverbs 31 Ministries podcast. They have a bunch of resources too, a bunch of books too, but they have a series called Therapy and Theology. And it talks about boundaries, about expectations, all of this stuff. Every podcast is different, but they have a theologian and a licensed clinical therapist and the author of Proverbs 31 Ministries books. The three of them are on there, and it's so good.
That's
what I was listening to most of the time before we got married.
Definitely be putting that in the show notes, so check those out. Well, thanks again, Laya and Joe, for sharing with us today. It's cool to hear your story as well. It's a journey. Everyone is kind of on that chapter somewhere. They may already be married, but you know, there's still things we can be learning.
We have a lot to learn too. Got married.
Absolutely.
So
much to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Humans were designed to learn from each other.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, thanks so much for listening, everybody, in our conversation today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Message us on Instagram, Choose to Overflow, or visit our website, choosetooverflow.com. You can find all our past episodes there. You can find a downloadable summary and a reflection guide for today's episode. We want to help those ideas stick and, give you an opportunity to share what you've learned with others as well. So that's choosetooverflow.com. And thanks as always to our audio engineer, Zach Cast, and to the Loma Linda University Church for their support of this podcast. Joe, do you want to give us a blessing as we finish up?
Yes, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. And hopefully at least one person is touched by this. We are not perfect. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to learn from each other. Bless each one of the ones, each one of the listeners of this podcast. Use them. And keep using Carl with this ministry. Thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for listening. We hope you choose to overflow this week. Let's chat again soon.